With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we thank you again for joining us at Abounding Grace. We're picking up again in Philippians chapter 4. What a wonderful passage here in verses 10 through 13. Well, the whole book is, but these are especially joyful verses, and what a perspective about the Christian life. I don't know if you've shared that with me this week, but when I read over these verses, and what a perspective that the Apostle Paul gives us about the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus, that we have a life of Christian peace and joy and contentment in Christ, that nothing can separate us from His love. Listen to verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul is saying, remember we looked at yesterday, regardless of his circumstance, regardless of whether he was suffering and being abased or whether he was full, he had learned in rich or poor, when suffering intensely or when his cup was full, not to let these things master or control him. And that's the calling for every Christian. 1 Timothy 6, verses 7 through 9 come to mind. "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." Strong words. So the secret of this life then, my friends, is to learn to accept whatever comes your way, both good and bad, and not to let it so control you that it conditions your life as a Christian. Thus, the answer then to all of this and what we've been saying this week is the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. That one must be so rooted and grounded in Him that they cannot be affected and controlled by circumstance. Your life as a Christian must bring forth with it the fruits of peace and joy that cannot in any way be determined by whatever state you are in. The ties to the things that you are facing that attack the heart and the mind do not in any way distance me and bring me into bondage away from Jesus Christ. But as we left off yesterday, my circumstances, both good and bad, are instruments to only strengthen and confirm the one who really does control my life. My circumstances, good and bad, are only instruments to strengthen and confirm Jesus Christ living in me as the one who truly is my master. You see, Paul says this in verse 13 in a beautiful way, really the summary of the book, "For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now that can be very much abused, but in context, the Philippians, he's saying to them, "You've been given this great gift, but I rejoice that it is indicative of your spirituality. But my joy is not that my needs are met. My joy is that I have come to learn this secret of self-sufficiency in myself like the Stoic. No, but I've learned that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." A beautiful verse. Literally, "I am made strong," as the Greek translates it. As the Greek is, "for all things." So I'm made strong for all things in the one who is constantly strengthening me. Made strong, it literally translates. So that in whatever I face, Christ is making me strong. He is, in my sanctification, infusing into me His power and strength, so that in my circumstances, my very circumstances, I'm not becoming anxious, and I'm not being controlled by things that would take me away from Him. But rather, I am given strength through the circumstance to live with this power that He has promised me, that my whole life would be given to Him. That's what Paul had learned. Christ is all sufficient for everything. So it's not that we run around our trials. It's not that we run back and look back and looking for the good old days. But we're called to strain forward through them, seeing that Christ is our sufficiency. And that can be when you're abased and when you're full. He is our sufficiency for everything. Paul had learned, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. That means that Jesus Christ was the center of his whole life. Jesus had purchased him on the cross, and he lived in the power of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Jesus had given him this glorious inheritance. He had assured him with promise after promise in the gospel that this life is for him and that he had been given all things in Christ. Paul believed Jesus. He loved Jesus for what he had done for him. He was in a vital communion with him and union with him through his blood. And so understanding that all of Paul's life was purchased by Jesus, he knew that every square inch now was his, and that in Christ he had this power available to him through the Spirit that guaranteed that his circumstances, both good and bad, should not control him, but rather should be lived to the glory of God. Rather, being in Christ should make him self-sufficient in every circumstance and in every situation. Because the very self-sufficiency in these things, his very self-sufficiency, is Jesus. He is the source of his sufficiency. And so what did this mean for his life? Well, it meant that if he would have a life of abundance, that would not control him. But it would be more to the glorification of Christ, as Paul would magnify him in his body by giving himself for Jesus. If it meant being in hunger and being in want, he is still in Christ. Nothing could touch that. Nothing could change that. And he would accept his abasement as part of being conformed to Jesus in the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to him in his very death. It was with this contentment that being in prison, as Paul writes these things to the Philippians, and being with nothing, that he could rejoice in the Lord always and again tell the Philippians to rejoice, because he had a peace that surpassed all understanding, so that when people saw him in the heart of his afflictions, they saw Jesus Christ living in him. So the question then before us today is, how do we obtain this life? Why is it so rare? Well, if this self-sufficiency is a freedom in Christ apart from the things that tie us to this world, how many things must we confess are controlling us? What is controlling you today? Be interesting to see in all of us. Tomorrow, as a family, I counsel young families out there and families who are so busy with the busynesses of life. Sit down on the couch. No TV. Kids, no video games, no iPods, no radio, no computers, no CDs, no toys, no games. Fathers, no working through the night. Sit as a family. See if you are able. See what you talk about. See what binds you together. Is it Christ? See what you discover in the moments of quiet and solitude. See what really is mastering you. Or might I say, as an individual in the morning, see if you can go to the corner of your house and commune with your Christ without being caught in the daily stresses of this life. You see, quickly, you'll find what's mastering you. You know something is mastering you when you cannot commune with your Lord. Martin Lloyd-Jones is absolutely right. There are no shortcuts to the Christian life. Say this quick prayer and think my circumstances will change. No. The secret of this power is to make you strong in Christ, to do all things for him and live for his glory. It doesn't come by osmosis. It doesn't fall from heaven like rain. The secret of this Christian life, and I'm talking about sanctification here, please get that right, not justification. I'm talking about something only peculiar to the saved Christian. The secret of this life of joy and peace and contentment is to go to Christ, to know him, to commune with him, to speak with him, to love him, to walk with him. As Paul said, in the fellowship of his sufferings, and to know him in the power of his resurrection, being conformed to his death. Do you know this Savior? Is he the satisfaction of your life apart from everything else he sends to you in his wise and good and kind providence? Jesus said when he looked out at his sheep, "Abide in me." Are you abiding in him? He is the only source of life and the only source of joy and peace. "Peace I leave with you," said Jesus. It's something the Christian must have and maintain that shows to the world that Christ is living in him. If the life that Paul describes here is absent from us, I'm not surprised today that you are depressed, distressed, anxious, empty, and so on. We must repent today and recognize that I am being mastered by something else other than Christ. Maybe this day I need to bend the knee and begin to recognize that I have tried to live this life without Jesus Christ and for myself. And the call is no longer, my friends. It doesn't matter who you are today. You must flee to Christ. Go to him. His arms are open to you. He's designed such a life for the Christian. And you see, in communing with the only Savior that God has appointed by which men may be saved, you will begin to know this life that Paul has presented, a life of joy, a life of peace, and a life of contentment. Self-satisfaction, as he says, as Jesus Christ becomes the center of your whole existence. Let me read these words to you again today and let them set in your hearts and your minds. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Oh, may Jesus today be your all in all, to his praise and honor and glory. Our goal at the Linden United Reformed Church is to reach the lost without losing the reached. So many times it's so unbalanced that people are only trying to bring in the lost that they're not feeding Christ's sheep with the gospel. The answer, of course, is to preach Christ in season and out of season. "Woe is me," said Paul, "if I do not preach Christ and him crucified." Would you like to join us this Sunday for worship, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is central to our whole worship and what we believe and everything we do, because Jesus Christ is our all in all. Join us this Sunday. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Again, that's www.lindenurc.com, or give us a call, 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.